Well, I'd like to add my welcome to that which had already been extended to you. We count it a privilege to gather together with you here this morning at Calvary Chapel. It's awesome to look upon the children. We can't help but just have such joy, and we feel such love when we look upon the children. But it's awesome to remember that God looks upon you in that same way. And we pray that you might experience all of God's love and what he has for you this morning as we've gathered together. Well, this is our time to see what God would have for us in the study of the Word together. So towards that, let's all turn to the book of Joshua. We've arrived at chapter 14. Joshua 14. The ushers are coming down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible to study with us. If you need a Bible, don't hesitate to raise your hand, and they will count it a privilege to pass the Bible to you. And it's yours to keep if you need one. But for all of us, let's join the children of Israel again. We've been traveling with them for a while now. They've come into that land that God had promised for them. We've arrived at Joshua chapter 14. Might as well say it up front. My voice is recovering, but it's not great. But as I often say, do not let my voice keep you from hearing the voice of God this morning, because I know he has something for each one of us. What is a promise? Promise, of course, is something that one person makes towards another, in which they're making a commitment of something. Typically, one party makes a promise to another, and in that promise, they're declaring that there's something that they're going to do, or perhaps something there that they won't do. They promise they won't do something. But either way, it's a commitment on the behalf of one person to another. Now, I'm beginning with these rhetorical questions. Help us think about and be prepared for what God would have for us this morning. But having said that a promise is a commitment from one person to another that they will do or not do something. And on the heels of that comes this question. Ever have someone break a promise? Now, don't answer out loud. But you ever have someone break a promise to you? It hurts, doesn't it? They swore they would be there. Or they promised they would never do that thing. Or whatever it might be. But they broke it. And it hurts. Hurts a lot. Now, there are, of course, some promises that are more significant than others. They promised to come to a get-together and weren't there. Okay, well. But there's others that, of course, really it can shatter us when a promise isn't kept. But, if we're honest, the tables sometimes have been reversed also. Ever break a promise? Now, again, it's not to be answered out loud. But if truth be told, most, if not all of us, have broken a promise also. So what am I saying? A promise is a commitment from one person to another, but we've all had promises broken towards us, and unfortunately, we've probably sometime or another been on the other side where we have broken a promise to someone. We've been on both sides of that equation somewhere in our life's journey. But this morning, we're to consider the fact that there is one who never has and never will break a promise. As we come to chapter 14 of Joshua, the children of Israel have now experienced a number of victories over the stronghold of this land, strongholds that had stood in their way. And we see there a type of us coming into all that God would have for us, and that he would have us have victory over those strongholds, those things in our lives that might keep us from all he'd have for us. As we see them get victory after victory. But now, they at this point have begun to divide the land amongst the various tribes. So they've come into this land that God had promised. They've been getting these victories, clearing out the inhabitants and all. And now they begin to divide up the land amongst the tribes. But as we now come to Joshua 14, as this distribution of the land is going on, someone steps forward from the crowd. He's older than everybody there, with the exception of perhaps maybe one person. And yet he seems so full of energy. You can tell he's a man with a purpose. And he steps right up to Joshua. Who is he? We're going to see he's the holder of a promise. And the time has come to exchange that promise for its fulfillment. Join me. We're in Joshua 14. We're going to jump into verse 6. Going to read a number of verses to help set the context. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain in which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. A long portion of scripture, but important, we set the context. For the one that stepped forward on this day, as I said, we see he is a man who has a promise. He's Caleb. And the time has come now to experience the fulfillment of it. I've called our time together this morning, the promise of God. Let's pray. Father, we're rejoicing this morning. We thank you that we can know that there are certain things settled. Your great love, your offer of forgiveness, your offer of eternity with you, your offer of your very presence in our lives as we make this journey. And Lord, we thank you that you give promises, sure and certain promises, that by that means you let us know your plans and purposes so often. Help us this morning, Lord. Help us to hear, not just head hear, but heart hear. Not just your promises, but your heart behind it all. And this morning, would you help us be a people who indeed are people of your promises, laying hold of and walking in all you have. Lord, work in this time, we ask. Keep away the distractions, we ask. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Caleb, we find an awesome example of a man with total faith in the promise of God. And so we're going to begin by just working through this text this morning and see what we might learn about being people of God's promises, because surely that's what we are. Not just Caleb, we also are people of God's promises. So let's consider them. There's going to be 4 points about this text, what we learned about Caleb, that I believe hopefully would be an encouragement for all of us. So we're going to go ahead and use the overhead here, and we're going to begin by giving us 4 points that we can gather some important stuff here regarding Caleb. Well, the first thing we see from our text that speaks about Caleb's life and all was that Caleb knew the promise of God. Let's look at it again, verse 6. It tells us they're all gathered together there to distribute the land. And it says, Caleb steps forward. And then we read where he says, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Because Joshua and Caleb were the two that had come back with a good report. He says, so you know about this, Joshua. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So he steps forward. Caleb steps forward. And he begins by doing what? He reminds Joshua. He recounts those events that led up to God giving the promise to Caleb. When it came to entering the land that God had promised, it was Caleb and Joshua, who were the only two that looked at how big God is rather than how big the dwellers in the land were. All the others came back and said, the inhabitants are too great, we can't do it. But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, we can do it. Our God is more than big enough. Come on, let's go for it. So he'd given that awesome report. And God noted that. God saw his faith. And because of that, we read back in that portion when that was going on, Numbers 14, 24, it says, and this is the Lord saying this to them, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit me, shall inherit it. That is the promise. But there it is right there. And it is crucial. He heard God say, he knew that God said, Caleb, you followed me. Because of that, I will bring you into the land. Caleb heard that. It was the promise from God. And Caleb grabs onto it, and it will be like a light, a beacon for years to come in all of his journeying. See, a crucial point in all this is found in verse 6, if you look at that again with me. As Caleb begins to, he comes forward and begins now to make his request, notice how he begins. He steps up and he says, he's speaking to the people, but specifically to Joshua, you know the word which the Lord said. That declaration is crucial. You know, Joshua, what God promised. See, in Caleb, we have a man who, he knows what God said. The promise he's going to be leaning on is not something that he made up. Now, that's important. We can't just make up something, say, okay, God, endorse it. Rubber stamp it. I want it, you make it to happen. It's never name it and claim it. We don't get to come up with these things. They have to start with God if they're going to be sure. But he knows that. It was a promise of God, and Caleb knows it. If we are going to be a people of the promise, we must know he knew the promise of God. It begins there. You must know the promise of God before you can stand on the promises of God. That's why it's so important to study this and to know it. Now, if I went around the room and were to ask, okay, could you share with me a promise or some promises of God that you're standing on? I hopefully would hear from you a number of them. Promises of God that you lean to when the storms come along, when the trials happen, when you're hurting, at 3 a.m, whatever it might be. As you consider your future, as you consider eternity, hopefully you know promises. Not that you made up, but you could quote, you could look to, God has said this, and that's my refuge. That's where I'm learning. That's where I'm leaning on. And that's what's important. We must know what he said. That's what Caleb did. He knew what the Lord had said. See, it makes all the difference who makes a promise and what they said. As I pointed out earlier, when we make promises, unfortunately, I mean, a promise is only as good as the character of the one making it, right? Some people might make you a promise, but because you know their character, you go, well, that'll never happen. Other people say, I know them, and they'll do their very best to make sure that comes about. Or if it's a promise not to do something, I know they'd never do it, because I know them. I know they'll do their best to never do that thing. So a promise rests upon the character. So it's important we know who made it. It can't be something we made up. We've got to know that God said that. That's our anchor. That's where we need to look to. So we got to know who said it, and we have to know what he said, not ours. And it can't be misquoted or kind of taken out of context. But when it is in context and we know who said it, then we can lean on it. And that's what Caleb is found doing. He's a man who's going to now go on to rest in and lay hold of a promise from God. And remember, this is all an example for us, that we too might lay hold of and rest in the promises of God. Well, the next thing we learn about him, he not only knew the promise of God, he not only intellectually knew it, but then he held on to the promise of God. Verse 10, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He's giving God the glory. I'm old, but it's God that got me here, he says. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Caleb knew the promise of God. I know God said this. And so he committed to hold on to the promise of God. How Caleb must have treasured that promise from God. During all those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and then the 5 years it's been, commentators estimate, it's been about 5 years of conquering the land now. For 45 years, he's held on to a promise. For 45 years, it has meant so much to him. Through all the wilderness wandering and the stronghold battles, he held on to that promise. And all through those times of wilderness wandering, we don't read of Caleb ever attacking Moses. We don't read of him complaining against God. Why? Because he was busy holding on to the promise of God. 45 years. We hold on to a promise for 45 days. And we grumble. Hey, God, when are you going to get with it? I thought you said. 45 years. And in a wilderness environment. Lack of water. All the things they'd gone through. He was a man holding on to the promise of God. For all those times, remember, he shared the wanderings and the discipline of all those who had not shared his faith. Only two had not disbelieved. But he got to take the journey with them. He got to go through all that wilderness. He got to go through those times. Where are we going to find water and everything else? But you don't find him joining in attempts to rebel against Moses. You don't find him grumbling. You don't see Caleb walk around the camp going, I thought God promised, man. He's letting me down. He's so unfaithful. You don't see that. All through it, he's a man holding on to a promise because of the God who made it. When does a promise fail? If it's from somebody, we oftentimes come to a point where we start saying, well, looks like that one's not going to happen. He promised, but boy, he was going to pay me. But it's been 2 weeks now, or whatever. We start deciding. When does a promise fail? Well, I'll tell you this. When it's from God, never. If it's a promise from God, it will never fail. Thirdly, what do we learn? He not only knew the promise of God intellectually, but he heart held on to the promise of God. He lived it. It helped him through all that struggle, all that stuff going on. And then we see he claimed the promise of God. Now again, don't misunderstand the word. It's not name it and claim it. It's not me coming up with what God should do and then he's got to somehow do it. But a better way to say it might be he stood on the promise of God. He's saying, okay, God said this. Now I want to experience the fulfillment of it. Look at verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He stood on the promise of God. Okay, we're there now. Let's go for it. Let's receive what this promise is about. What Caleb asked for is the land here where the giants had dwelt. They're the Anakim. They were called the Anakim, and they were the giants. But notice, he doesn't say, well, you know, God made a promise of this, but I'd settle for a lot less, and I'm pretty old. Can I just have like a really cushy house over in the valley where there's no more, you know, inhabitants, no more enemy there, it's a little stream walk. Can I just take it easy now? No. What does he ask for? He says, give me the land that God said he would give me. Give me the land where the giants are. Because I believe he could drive them out then, and I still know he can drive them out now. Time hasn't changed a thing for Caleb. Hey, I knew he could do it then. He's going to do it now. Now let me go for it, that I can live out this faith. Let me experience the fulfillment of this promise. Let me go right into that place. See, how can he do that? How can he ask for where the giants are still? Because his eyes are still on the promise, not on the problem. The people's eyes are on the problem back then, not his. And the day comes 45 years later, and they're still on the promise, not the problem. He's 85 years old, but in essence, what he's doing, he's going, let me at him. I'll get him. Me and God will do this thing. He can do it then. He'll do it now. It doesn't matter how old I am physically, because my God is great. Let's go for what he's promised. I want everything God has promised, and I don't want anything, including my age, to get in the way. What an awesome example for us. What an awesome challenge. It is interesting to read how Caleb sees himself. As we mentioned, he has spent some 40 years wandering in the desert, all because the other spies were afraid of giants. But now he can't wait to take them on. How interesting that is. He wants to see the promise fulfilled. I don't care how old you are, don't coast. Don't say, well, I'm getting kind of old. I'm going to take the easy route. I don't need to come into all God has. I don't need to come into his whole plan for me. I don't need to come into how he might still want to use me. You know what Paul said? Paul said, if I'm still here and alive, it's because he's got something he wants to do. And I want to experience all of it, Paul said. I want to lay hold of everything he laid hold of me for. Whatever age you are, whatever age you're, and all the years out ahead for each one of us, don't stop running the race. You run all the way till you break the tape at the end of the course. Don't coast. Well, I'm old. It's someone else. God's got something for you, whatever your age is, whatever your condition is. And that's what Caleb's doing. See, that's what someone who has a promise does. This is talk from someone who knows God. And so he lays hold of this promise of God. He wants to see the promise fulfilled. And because of that, the fourth point, because of that, he comes into it. He knew it, held on to it, claimed it, meaning stood on it, and now the time has come. He came into the promise of God. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him. You can just picture the crowd. Here's Joshua and the other elders, and they're giving out the land, you know, to the people. And it comes to a certain tribe, and all of a sudden this old guy kind of comes walking through the crowd. He walks right up. No introduction needed for Joshua. They're buds. They're the two that had went out with the other spies and came back with a good report. They're the two that had a good report. And I just see Joshua kind of smiling. Hey, buddy. Hey, old friend. You just see him walking up right away. He knows. Because what's Caleb again? Caleb walks up and goes, you know what God told us when we got back. Now it's time to come into it. And so what's he do? He blesses him. Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh's inheritance. He comes into it, verse 14, because he fully followed the Lord God of Israel. He's a man of the promise who knew it, held on to it, lived it, and now he came into the fulfillment of it. He moved into the fulfillment of the promise. Promises aren't just to be considered, they're to be laid hold of. And this is how you go about doing it. Now, we don't have time right now, but over in chapter 15, if you were to read it, I encourage you to do that later if you choose to, it tells us that Caleb does indeed go into the land, this land he's talking about. He does indeed, it talks about he drives out the three giants that are living there, as well as the other inhabitants in the land. What am I saying? God said he would do it, and he did it. Caleb's faith is rewarded as God does just what he said he would do. Now, having said all that this morning, promises of God are a big topic. And I was talking to Kathy about this. I started studying this. And I go, man, if we get into the promises of God, well, we'd be here a lot longer than most of you probably would be happy with. Because this whole book is about God's promises, how awesome they are, how many he's given, and how they are rooted in his character. But let me just summarize it by these couple of comments. And I want to be clear about something. The promises of God are sure and certain. Don't equate God's promises with man's faulty promises, man's failed promises. Well, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. It's just one passage trying to capture the many that point out that God's promises are sure. They're yes. They're so be it. They're going to happen. We can trust the promises that God has made that are yet to be fulfilled because of all the ones that have been already. Scripturally, things in our heart, all those things. And the promises of God are sure, is the idea. If we don't come in to all God has promised us, it's not the promise's fault. But may this morning help us to do just that, to come into what God would have for us. I got a rhetorical question, not to be answered out loud, but to be considered. We're talking about the promises of God. But what role does faith have regarding the promises of God? Think about that. What role does faith play in all of this? A promise is a commitment from God about something towards us. What is faith? Faith is to be our response to that if we're going to bring it to bear in our lives. He makes us the promise that if we receive what Christ did on the cross for us, we'll have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But just him extending it doesn't make it happen. It is by faith we're saved, and we must respond. We must by heart have faith, but appropriate it, bring it in. So it's faith that appropriates the promises of God. That's how these come together. Faith is our part of connecting to God's promise. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Paul describes in Scripture, he says, you don't have hope for something you already have, but yet we know that his promises are sure, they're coming. But our place, our response to the promises are to have faith, not just in a promise, but in the one who promised. Again, it's the character of the one who promised. But let me be clear about something. If faith appropriates the promises, and we know God wants us to come into those, what is faith? Well, tell you what it isn't. Faith is not just positive thinking. Sometimes you almost feel like that when people talk like that. Well, have faith. You know, have faith in faith or something. Somehow just faith itself is what does it. No, faith is not just positive thinking. Faith is not just optimism. Well, just have a good outlook and it all come to pass. No, faith is not just optimism. Faith is not just looking on the bright side. Just be positive and it'll bring it about. No. Biblical faith is taking God at his word and acting upon what God says. Faith, biblically speaking, faith is a deep, settled conviction that God will do what he's promised to do. Caleb had settled the issue some 45 years ago. God said it. I'm going to stay focused on it. I'm going to trust in him and in the promise he gave me. You got to settle the issue of who has promised. That will help bring to bear the promise into our lives. But sadly, our faith can waver. Our faith can waver. Our circumstances can tempt us to doubt too often. Time can get us wondering if we may be misunderstood. I mean, 10 years in the wilderness, 20 years in the wilderness, 30 years. God, did I maybe miss something here? Did you not say I was coming? But we don't see that in him. But time can tempt us to do that, can't it? Lord, I appreciate you promised it, but could you make it happen now? See, we don't like those words that God couples sometimes with his promise. Words like patience. Oh, no, no, no. Or wait. No, don't make me wait. Have it be a fulfillment right now. No, because that's not how it works. But time can get us to wonder. Circumstances can get us to doubt the promise. Egypt can try to lure us from the sure promise. Remember, Egypt is where they came out of. And it's an example of the old life. Because remember what happened to them? They got in the wilderness for a while. started having some hardships, some trials, and what'd they do? Wish we could go back to Egypt. We had it so good in Egypt. Oh, yeah, you did. You were total slaves. They totally dominated. You had a really horrible life. God delivered you from your captivity, but somehow time has dimmed that. But we can do that. Oh, it was so easy. It's the old life he delivered us from. And we need to be future-focused, looking forward. That's what Caleb was. How sad when the people of God's promise grumble about the journey. We need to be like Caleb. Keep our eyes on the promises in the midst of our journey. But now, we come to the key to Caleb's victory. There was a phrase here that occurred three times in these verses. Hopefully you noticed it. In a moment we're going to look at it if you didn't. But it's going to capture what God saw in Caleb, what was going on in Caleb that opened him up to being in this place regarding God's promises. What's the phrase? Go back to verse 8 for just a moment. He steps forward, talks about how he came back from all this thing and the people were saying a bad report. End of verse 8, though, he says what? But I wholly follow the Lord my God. What, Caleb? You're not too humble. Kind of trotting out that you're totally sold out. He didn't come up with this statement about himself, but he should have remembered it. It was God who saw this in Caleb. Verse 9. So Moses swore in that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. God, through Moses, declared, Caleb, this is what God sees about you. You've decided who you belong to. You've settled the issue about who you belong to and his faithfulness and all. And so Caleb just quoted, he's just pointing it out. I've just been about God all my life. And so the statement declares it. And notice now, go to verse 14. That declaration is pointed to in verse 14 as how, why he did come into all God had. Verse 14 towards the end. As it talks about, Hebron therefore did become his inheritance because he, Caleb, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This phrase is what characterized Caleb. God had all of Caleb. And for us as children of God's promises, may find in us a people who has all of us. Because that's going to help us come into all of what God has for us. As we settle the issue of who he is and what he has for us. So that declaration that he wholly followed the Lord, it's key to understanding Caleb, and it's a key for us also. In Caleb, we see the example of a person of commitment. He held on to the promise of God, and because of it, he did indeed come into its fulfillment. He does go on to drive out the enemies in the land and all. This morning, are we coming into all the land of God's promises? Are we experiencing all God would have for us? What will we have lived for when it's all said and done? Caleb found God is worth trusting in and living for. Caleb found that God's promises are sure when everything else is sinking and shifting around us. So this morning, if you're a believer, you receive Christ as Savior, we are promise holders. We are the holders of, the keepers of promises from God. We live in the promises of God, don't we? The promises of eternal life through what he did on the cross, the promises of his presence every day, his strength, his wisdom, just all those things that he's begun to work and he's going to complete it. On and on the promises go. We are a people of the promises of God. Now, let me quote something here to show you. This is one of many. This is part of a whole section. But notice in here, Peter says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, many scriptures we could talk about God's promises, but this is a good one to throw in the mix here. That what has been given to us, it says, exceedingly great and precious promises. We are, as I am declaring here, as we're just talking about, we are people of the promises of God. And they are exceedingly great and precious promises. And they are sure and certain promises. Again, don't put upon God what you've experienced from the world, how shaky its promises are. God's promises almost need a whole different word. God's promises are sure as can be. And Caleb found that, and it made all the difference. It'll make the difference for us also. God delighted in Caleb because he saw a man of faith, a man who trusted in God, believed in God. Do you know that God delights in you? He delights in us, for God so loved the world. You can put your name in there if you want. That he sent his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But it started in the fact that God loves you. We don't do any of this to earn his love. It's in response to it, like Tim so ably said to us a while ago with the children. But the ultimate proof of God loving us and delighting in us is what? The cross. The cross is proof of God's love for us. And it's that ultimate promise of God for us. Because he promises us that one day, as Caleb came into his promise, so we will someday come into the full experience of the promise of the cross. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't care how old you are. Keep going for it. And trusting the one who made it. Because it's a sure promise. See, we know that no matter what the journey of our life will hold, there remains this sure promise. We will be with him forever if you have taken him up on the work of the cross. It's sure. It's certain. It's settled. We will inherit the promise, just like Caleb. But will God find us living like Caleb in the meantime? Will he find us living as people of the sure promise? Will he find us leaning on his promises in our storms and trials? Or will he find us wandering the camp in discouragement, looking back to Egypt or whatever it might be? Let's be people who hold on to and live in the sure promises of God. That's the calling. Caleb's reward was complete victory. He had victory over the giants. He goes on, he has victory over the strongholds. He has victory over what might have kept him from all God had for him. Why? Because he had faith in the one who gave him the promise. Again, it's not promise in the promise. It's promise in it. I mean, it's not. It's trust in faith in the one who gave the promise that makes the promise sure. And because he had faith in the one who gave the promise, he experienced the disciples' reward. The same is available for us this morning. So what is Caleb's example to us? Don't stop short of coming into all God has promised. By faith, enter into them. Trust him who promises. Stand on God's promises in the midst of the storms of life and all. Caleb did, and Caleb didn't regret it. And if we stand on the promises, neither will we. You can invite our worship team up to wrap us up this morning. Once again, you've been good students. You've taken it in. I've seen your attention up here. Maybe go out now and rest in and live in this awesome encouragement that God would have from us through the example of Caleb. But it begins by receiving that top, ultimate, that beginning promise, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. By receiving by faith what he did on the cross. If you haven't done it, do it. When I ask you to join our church or give a bunch of money or something, it's not by being good you get to heaven or something. You must receive the work of the cross, that payment for your sins. But there's that sure promise of your whole destiny will be changed if you do. Go to the prayer room and get it settled if you haven't done that. Or maybe you just need prayer for something going on in your life. You have some questions this morning. Go to the prayer room and talk to the prayer partners and let them pray with you about your circumstances. And for all of us, let's go out here and rejoice and just praise God for the fact that we are indeed people of the sure and certain promise. Father, you are so awesome, so loving, so good to us. And Lord, you're the one reaching out and you're the one calling. For each one who receives, Father, you're the one who gives these sure and awesome promises. Help us now. Help us to be like Caleb, who knew, head knew, heart knew, by faith appropriated, stood on, and experienced the fulfillment of your sure promise. Help us to do that same thing, Lord. And as we do, Lord, may it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.